Our next storyteller is Bryce Hiles. He's a Junuite of three-ish years, Alaskan for 14 going on 15, and the oldest of three siblings. He and his brothers are all spread across Alaska, so decent odds you'll run across someone that knows them. Though being known sometimes comes with a price. Please welcome to the stage, Bryce.
I'm a military brat, and that means I'm the kid of service members. In this case, both my parents made careers out of the U.S. Navy. I am part of a package deal. I'm 30, the next one's 29, the last one's 28, and we're going to reel all the way back to when I was in 7th grade, the middle one's in 6th grade, and the last one's in 5th grade. So we got that spread eldest, middle, youngest. If I'm the oldest, I have a stick in my butt. I'm a little straight-laced, referred to as bossy by my younger brothers. The middle one is born rebel. We are natural enemies the whole time. And he's a sweet talker, real smooth talker. And the youngest one, for being the baby of the group, marches to the beat of his own drum, kind of lives as his own world, a little bit of a space cadet, and, you know, we love him. Everybody's been doing great. And so this is the summer of, like, 2006. We live in Yokosuka Naval Base, Japan, and as living at an overseas military base is like living in a small community. Everybody knows everybody, especially when your mother is one of like five midwives, so she's responsible for delivering any baby that shows up for the 4 years that we live there, and I kid you not, she had a spy network. We would come home from dinner or school or like gym practice, swimming, and she'd be like, oh, hey, Miss Janine saw you guys at the commissary today. She said you guys are very polite, very nice. And we're like, who's Miss Janine? Like, we don't know. We have absolutely no idea. And so if we were the Hiles boys, we're also Commander Hiles' children. And so if you can imagine, hot summer day, muggy, warm, cicadas droning here in kind of the loose suburbs of Japan. And what do you do when you're bored on a day? You want to go find friends. So my brothers and I, we leave to go find a buddy who lives a little bit of ways away from us, Colin. If you understand us, Colin's self-proclaimed cool kid, also a sixth grader. We learned that self-proclaimed cool means you're kind of a narcissist, like you understand that as you get older. And on our way to find Colin, we run into another buddy, Kyle, and the best way I can describe Kyle is like taller than we are right now. It's maybe this tall, so Kyle is like up here. Skater bro, permanent beanie attached to his head. Kind of like to go with the flow. And so my brothers and I find Kyle, end up at this tower apartment where Colin lives. He lives on the 7th floor of this 8-floor building, so the easiest way up is an elevator. And step into the elevator, start taking the elevator up, and middle brother, Nathan, he goes, oh, hey, let's jump. Graham's space cadet, youngest, and Kyle goes, oh, okay, we'll jump. The small hop, nothing happens. All right, guys, we probably shouldn't do that. Not great. Get out of the elevator, knock on Colin's door, grab Colin, back into the elevator. This time, Graham is tuning in. The space cadet is on board. And as we step into the elevator, 7th floor, hit the button to go down, automated voice, going down. Middle brother, hey, let's jump. Colin, yeah, that's a great idea. Kyle, okay. Graham, sounds good. And me, straight lace, voice of reason. Guys, I really think this is a bad idea. It's like, oh, no, it's fine. We'll be okay. No worries. Elevators passing 6th floor, down to the 5th floor, and as we're passing through the 5th floor, all right, on three, 1, 2, 3, jump. I stay still. Everybody else jumps. Ka-chunk. Now, what probably only lasted 30 seconds to a minute felt like forever, because that grueling point where that flickering light changes from 5 to 4 doesn't change to 4. It just goes back and forth between 5 and 4. It can't really figure out what it wants to do. And there's three important things that are occurring in this elevator at this time. One, if you get in trouble overseas on a military base as a dependent, which is what we children are to our parents, you get in big enough trouble, you get reprimanded, but your parents still have to do their jobs. So it means that you can get expulsion, deported, technically, we're in a foreign country, even though we're on a military base, And so running through the back of mine, it's like, cool. Mom and Dad warned us about this a year ago. We're going to get in trouble. They're going to know. And we're going to have to go live with Grandma and Grandpa. Grandpa is really good at Monopoly, and he plays for quarters. And God, does the man cheat. Grandma is real popular at the church. And every time we've gone back to visit in the past, like, year, we've gone twice, once for Christmas, one for her birthday. We have to talk to all the old ladies at the church, and all three of us have to hear, oh, you have beautiful eyelashes. Thank you, I was born with it. It's not Maybelline, sorry. Like, and so it's like, don't want to get deported. Second, we are, oh, God, yeah, so don't want to get deported. Second, there is a closed-circuit television that is a camera in the inside that is checked by the MPs monthly. They pull the information to scan, check, make sure everything's ship-shape, and they review it on a monthly basis. If something happens, helps them tag, like seeing dumb kids like us doing what we just did. Third, and the best way I can describe possible, you're at that age between like 9 and 12, not really 13 yet, where like you don't use adult swear words. You use swear words that you know won't get you in trouble, but still like get the point across. Like, God, turd face, fart breath, poopy head, butt cheeks, a lot of like poop related terms, really. Just like juxtaposed, you try an adult word on for size and it just doesn't land right because you don't understand how to use it yet. And all of this transpires, these thoughts, this swearing, all of this in this small like minute as we're all stuck here kind of panicking. And the last thing we want to do is hit the call button that says call for help, because then we know the jig's up, like we are dead. Youngest brother, back online, no longer in space. Hey, why don't we try prying the door open? All right, you're the smallest one here, so you stand back, we'll pull the door open. What probably wasn't actually all that difficult, pry the door open, and we find that we're like 3 inches above the landing of the fourth floor. Oh, cool. Get out. Everybody files out, door shuts behind. Someone goes to hit the button, the elevator's not moving. Like, cool, down the staircase. Down the staircase, little kid named Marcus, someone, I think fifth grader, brother knew, he kind of saw, he's like, are you guys okay? You just sprinted out of the staircase, elevator's not working. Like, don't worry about it, outside. Get everybody together in the way that only siblings and friends and people who have just been through a traumatic experience can do. You get your story straight. You make sure that no one knows and no one fibs, because the sibling code is written in tears and spankings. And so we leave. Everybody returns home after a day out and around. We end up learning a few weeks later. Summer rolls back into fall. School starts back up. And we're waiting for a knock on our door that tell our parents that we're SOL. And we end up hearing from Colin at school and catching up later that summer. The MPs went, knocked on the doors, knocked around. Nothing ever really came of it. No one ever came and told our parents. Dinner that night, what happened? Nothing crazy. It wouldn't lie. We were just hanging out with Kyle, Colin. And to this day, I know the sibling code has been maintained because my parents still don't know this story. So thank you.